Welcome back to the Tower Hill Podcast. Hope everyone is having a fantastic summer. Today is the first episode of our new Indispensable Agent series. We will be interviewing, as part of the series, some of the best top-producing agents that we know, as well as some folks who are not in our industry, but who display the kinds of qualities in business that we hope to replicate here at Tower Hill. So I'll be joined in a moment by my brother, Pat, and today's very special guest, Mr. Mike Dana. Mike is not a real estate agent. Rather, he is an attorney who practices business and tax law. So you know he is one of the good guys. We have known Mike for many years and have always been impressed by his insights into business, networking, and life in general. And we are very happy to have him on our side and on our podcast today. So without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Mike.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We have Mike Dana with us this morning. And Mike and I go back a long ways, all the way back to college. And he still talks to me, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was.
Yeah.
Thanks.
For Seems like forever ago. Really?
It does. And so Mike and I have been sort of in this business world together for many of those years. And I remember coming back from grad school, Mike getting out of law school and beginning our careers together. And Mike and I began our careers almost simultaneously in the DC area. And one of the things that's always impressed me about you, Mike, is how you've gone about building your business. And we're going to get into some of that. But now you're down in Naples. And you got your family down there, and you're building a whole new life. Now you wear shorts, which I don't think I have, even in college. I never saw the guy's legs. He was a slacks guy.
And I think to clarify real quickly before we jump into who Mike Dana is, I will say who he is not. He is not a real estate agent.
Right? He is not a real estate agent.
But he's on the Indispensable Agent podcast with us. He's a lawyer. You alluded to that with a law school comment. Still a practicing lawyer.
Lawyer. Yeah.
And he's
not fleeing anything by going to Florida.
That business, his law practice, is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
On the podcast today.
Yeah. And just for clarification's sake, one of the cool things about this podcast as the Indispensable Agent is, I think one of the neatest things is to find corollaries of other industries where a high level of care for the client is necessary, and therefore an indispensability can be built up in terms of your fiduciary ability, your how you build the business. And in particular with attorneys, we found, in particular with Mike, is by building it through the right relationships, he's really built a pretty amazing brand. So, Mike, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Mike, tell us about, what do you do? If you could describe to us just what, and for everybody listening, what it is that you do on a daily basis? What's your work like?
So, as you alluded to, I'm an attorney. I basically represent clients in all of their business needs, particularly as it relates to taxes. So I would say to some clients, I'm a cradle to grave lawyer for businesses. Mm-hmm. I help people form businesses. I help them operate businesses. I help them raise capital for businesses. And ultimately I help them sell their businesses. Inversely, I help them buy other businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what my work entails. And it can be anything from negotiating a partnership agreement to negotiating contracts. But all throughout this, I'm looking at the matter through a tax lens. Mm-hmm. Because my background my training is primarily tax, although I am a full-fledged lawyer, as you said. So I'm helping clients, basically small businesses or small to medium-sized businesses and their owners in all of their business legal needs, particularly tax. As you said, it requires, I'm constantly dealing with people with respect to I guess you'd say the most valuable asset they have, you know, in many respects.
Yeah. And businesses really, you know, especially when you spend years building them up, the exchange of those businesses, the leverage of those businesses give you when you want to go and buy other things is just massive. It's kind of almost dizzying, what businesses can do for people and the type of wealth it can help build as well. So you see a lot. And at some point I'd love to do just a podcast on the top 10 things not to do as a business owner, because I think that could be in and of itself just phenomenal, because you've got so much tremendous experience. I know over the years, you and I have talked through, you know, hey, make sure you're doing this for your companies. Hey, you know, watch out for this thing, or hey, take advantage of these opportunities as well. So it's not just the defensive side, it's also the offensive side that I know you've given me a ton of advice on. But what I really wanted to talk about today, this is one of the things that I really have always admired about you and come to you for advice over the years on, is building a personal brand through a network of professionals. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that I think doesn't necessarily, you don't always think of attorney as building a personal brand through a network of professionals, right? Maybe some really, really good attorneys, but you don't necessarily associate the two. I think it's a unique and valuable thing that you do as an attorney. I know you know in your law practice, you've been able to make connections that, you know, haven't been made for years as a result of sort of your mindset towards building this. So, the first thing is building the brand. You're relatively new in Naples, right? How long?
Yeah, have you been here for 4 years.
So 4 years, and you see yourself being there for a while?
Until it goes under the water. Or I go under the ground.
You're invested.
Could long be sooner term. Rather than later. Yeah.
And so you've really, I mean, this is a relatively new career start for you, right? I mean, you picked up your business. Obviously, your business, you still maintain business connections throughout the U.S., but nobody knew you in Naples 4 years ago. Is that correct? Fair to say? And you've gone about building a brand. Who do you want to be known as in Naples, in that general area?
I want to be known as the guy who owns the market as the business lawyer. So if there's any major business transaction going on in town, I want to have some touch on that transaction, whether I'm representing the seller, whether I'm representing the buyer, the financing arm, whoever, whatever it is, I want to have some touch on that transaction in town. And if someone is looking to do something new, I want to be the top of the list when someone says, okay, you're going to start a business or you're going to start this type of a business. The first thing you need to do is you need to talk to Michael Dana.
Mm-hmm. So that's the brand you have in mind. You want to be that guy, the guy when people think business and legal, you're right in there, right in the mix. What have you done? Just, you know, you've been there for 4 years. What have specifically you done in order to make that happen, become a reality?
So the first thing is, when I got into town, is I started just by meeting people. And that's mm-hmm. really, anytime you're going to start build a brand or start a network, is you have to meet people. And you have to think about, you know, there's a lot of the cliche ideas, but, you know, your elevator speech, your whatever, you have to really think about what you want to be and who you want to be known as. Mm-hmm. And so the experience I had coming to Naples was as a business lawyer and as a tax lawyer. And so I started with those things and trying to get out there and figure out, meet people and figure out who actually had the work and the relationships to drive business to me. So that was the first thing I did. And the second thing I did was, as you do work, you really have to strive to do it well. As one of the founders of my firm says, when you take a project, you want to make sure it's a project you can get an A on. And you don't want to be doing C work for people, because then you're going to get known as the C work guy.
Yeah.
So one of the things I've done is, one, start to meet people, start to figure out who has the relationships I need to be a good, to actually generate business work. And as you get the work, do a really, really good job on it. And I know this is for podcasts, you sometimes want to talk about the struggles or, you know, the failures and things like that. And one of the things that, one of the ways I learned this firsthand is I worked with a guy who, while he thought back in Miami, who thought that doing some things you had to do really well, but other things you could kind of cheat on. Mm-hmm. And I saw firsthand how that played out, and it didn't play out well. Sure. You know, he didn't review my work. He didn't review other people's work. And particularly when I had to pick up and take projects where he had done he and somebody else had reviewed it, and I had to pick up and run with it and take it out to clients and to opposing counsel, it was kind of embarrassing because there were lots of mistakes and issues in it. And you don't want to be that person that generates the reputation as doing C work.
Yeah.
I was, in fact, one of the things that led me to Naples was to find a new environment where I wasn't tainted with those types of relationships. And it's very important as you build your brand to determine whether you are surrounding yourself with people that can either tarnish your brand or burnish your brand. Mm-hmm. And both at this firm I was at in Miami and my previous firm in Naples, I got to the point with both of them where I felt like they were actually going to start tarnishing my brand. And that's why in both cases, I decided to leave. And that sort of is the fundamental rule. As I said, you've got to surround yourself with good people, and you got to make sure you find the right people that can help you really make it, build a good brand. If you don't have the good people around you, you can have a great brand, but it's only going to go so far.
Now, when you're talking about people, just for the sake of clarity, you're talking about people not necessarily who work for your firm, but who are other business owners who you're going to have collaboration with outside of the firm.
Right. It's both. So one, you can't say I'm going to work with, I'm going to be the A guy at a C at a place where everybody else that's using the same brand is doing C work.
Sure.
Because at some point, people are going to associate you with the C work, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is then as you go out into the community and you build your network, yes, you want to surround yourself with good referral partners, as I call them, mm-hmm. People who also do good work for clients and are well-known and respected in the community. Because if you start doing, for instance, if you start doing work, just to use an example for real estate agents, if you start working with the loan officers who are known as liars, cheats, and thieves, eventually that's going to bleed over into you if you become intimately connected with that person. So you really have to understand who you're going to surround yourself with. And that leads to another situation I had in Naples is, as I got to meet people, I met a financial advisor, seemed like a really good guy, and I knew there were some issues with him, but he was sending me clients from time to time. So, there's a struggle we have as lawyers. We're in some ways viewed as a public accommodation or a public service. And it becomes hard for lawyers to turn a client away if the client seems like a good person, or to turn away a referral source. Mm-hmm. And eventually I determined I had to dial back my relationship with this gentleman because he was not honest. He did not necessarily respect confidence that well, confidences that well. And the worst part about it is he was an investment advisor who did terrible work and did not do a good job for clients. So over time, I really had to cut ties with him. So yes, you have to really surround yourself with good professionals, both the people, I would say the people you work with in your office, but also the people you are going to do business with, the people you're going to bring in with clients, whether it's an insurance broker, a title agent, an investment professional, accounting firms, loan mm-hmm. officers. Everybody in your network has to be top notch. Otherwise, their reputation eventually is going to bleed into you.
Yeah.
And, I've had this situation before where you refer somebody out to a client, to a referral partner, you refer a client out, and they come back and they say the guy did a terrible job, or he didn't do this, or he didn't do that. And, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. So that's probably the worst feeling. Cause when you make the referral, you're projecting your own reputation onto that person.
Yeah.
Right.
You're putting your reputation online every time. Mm-hmm. So Mike, just hearing you talk, I know you're pretty humble about how you do this. And so this all seems like sort of obvious stuff, but what I've been really impressed with is that you've sort of taken this to a totally different level, and you've built a brand of networking, to use sort of probably an overused word, but a brand of networking vehicle, if you will, in order to achieve this world-class group of business professionals who you want to surround yourself with. And you called me about this, I don't know, 18 months ago, maybe not even that long. And you said, hey, I just put together a speaker series, and we're calling it the Entrepreneur Next Door. And we got some amazing people. I've got people in the room who I didn't think I could even get there. And we brought in speakers that I didn't even know I could invite to this sort of thing. And now you've done this multiple times. And you've only been in Naples for 4 years, and you decided not to go I'm going to the Chamber of Commerce, although I'm sure you've gone and visited those. You didn't go the typical route of using other vehicles that other people built. You decided to build your own vehicle because you had a very specific idea of the type of professional you wanted to get in the room. Can you share with us where this idea of the Entrepreneur Next Door came from and a little bit about what it is?
Sure. So it was a couple, the genesis of it was a couple of things. The first thing was, I actually haven't gone to visit the chamber. I don't think I've ever been to a chamber event since I've been here. Wow.
I'm actually not surprised.
I've been to one. Okay. And part of the reason is it's kind of the thing, again, everybody goes out to it, and I don't really do that well in large networking environments where I don't know anybody. So I wanted an environment in which I knew a lot, at least a lot of the people there. And two, I wanted an environment where everybody was interested in learning about an entrepreneur's business, how they started it, how they grew it, where they've been successful, where they haven't. So people that were interested in what makes a business successful. And I knew that if I was around those types of people and I could get those types of people in a room, then I could, at the same time, then I could start touching the people that would be able to generate that type of business for me, or refer that type of business for me. The other thing to bear in mind with any type of speaker series you do is that your number one networking prospect at the speaker series is your speaker. Mm. And I wanted to be able to touch good business professionals. And sometimes there's business professionals, particularly people who are more senior than you, or you don't ever think you could touch, where sometimes, we'd all love to go up to somebody and be like, excuse me, Mr. Gates, hi, my name's Michael Dane, I'm a lawyer. I'd really like to have some of your money. And I'd like you to pay me to do some things for you that you probably don't consider all that valuable. Yeah. And it would be great if Bill Gates would say yes, but sure. That's not how people don't give work, at least not to professional services, normally the professional service providers, they don't give them money for that. They don't hire them under those bases.
Sure.
But if you say to somebody, you go to somebody, particularly somebody that's not very well known in town, and or not as well known as, say, not a famous person, like, in Naples, a famous person would be considered someone like, I don't know, I'm going to try to I can't think of someone right off the top of my head, but Art Allen, for instance, is a famous guy in Naples. He had a company, actually, it spectacularly failed in 2015, but he was very well known in town. He's got his name on all kinds of stuff for the Bakers, or very well known personalities in town. But if, particularly if you go to people who aren't at that level, who aren't as well known, and you say to them, I'd really like to hear your story. I'd like you to present to our group. I think it would be really cool for you to do this. And I think we could learn a lot from you. A, it's not, you're playing to someone's pride and vanity to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's always a good thing to play to. But it's also asking, it's also a sign of respect that you respect that this person has done something very successful with their life. And you think they have something valuable to offer to the business community. So the idea was, so there's a gentleman in town who's a very good friend of mine. His name is Mike Benson. He runs a speaker series called The Next Gen. Mm. And this was pulling like the creme de la creme. It was pulling the guys like Richard Schulz, who was the founder of Best Buy, and Jan Fields, who was president of McDonald's USA, and Michael Duke, who was CEO of Walmart, all these huge high-end business celebrities that are in Naples, and bringing them to the speaker series. And there are about 200 people, 250 people in the room. And it's a fantastic speaker series, calls it The Next Gen, you know, as a mentorship program for business professionals in Naples. And I've learned a lot from some of these events, and also, I've learned a lot from these people, both in what they've recommended and in things they didn't say, but not to get bogged down in it. But then I said, well, we have in town hundreds, if not thousands of guys who have made tons of money in a business, and a guy lives next door to you. You know, you can go, I mean, our first speaker was a guy named Tom Sieber, who was a dad in the school my kids were in the last few years. And, you know, I could tell talking to him that he had been very successful in his career, both in, the lifestyle they live, the house they have, all that type of stuff. And you start talking to him but he's kind of a relatively normal guy. And so I said, let's hear what this guy has to say, because, you know, for the average business professional, it's nice to hear what Richard Schulz has to say, the billionaire, or Bill Gates or whatever. But most of us aren't going to be Bill Gates. Probabilities are against us. But, you know, for a lot of business owners, there's a lot higher probability that they could sell their business for $10 million. All right. How do you get to that first $10 million exit? How do you get to that first $5 million exit? How do you raise the first $1 million? Let's hear what people have to say about that. And so that was sort of the idea of the speaker series. And let's bring in good professionals and good speakers who we think would be good speakers. And then let's bring together good professionals in the room.
And so, Mike, I think it's brilliant in that, I mean, we started talking about building your brand. You have laser focus on exactly what ideas you want to be associated with in doing this, right? It wasn't, hey, let's just get anybody in the room. Let's get somebody to talk about something interesting, maybe a politician, you know, somebody who's done something cool, or, you know, and I've been to those where, you know, you go and it's the warden of the jail. And pretty cool. How often do you get to talk to that guy? It literally has nothing to do with business.
Right.
And so I like your laser focus in saying, you know, I want my name, the brand that people associated with Mike Dana as an attorney, to be associated with how to go get that funding, build it from the ground up, the struggles, the sale, how do you get to that first 10 million, all of the stuff. And that's precisely what you're inviting people to. So they naturally see you through that, the lens that you're purposely building the brand around. So yeah, I think it's just brilliant.
That's exactly right. And you know, the thing that you learn about entrepreneurs, particularly, whether they're, you know, a professional service provider or they're someone that runs some other type of business, is they're all deal junkies. They're all business junkies. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many business books do you have on your shelf, Pat? Probably
way too many.
Yeah, exactly. You guys all read those books. I don't read nearly as many as you guys, but I love hearing these stories from these guys and learning how they build their business, because I always learn something, even if it's one or two small points. I personally learn something.
Sure.
And then we take that and you can really, by bringing it out into the community, people, like you say, they see that and they associate you with someone trying to help businesses.
Well, I think
the way I got that speaker series off the ground is, I said before, there was this guy, Mike Benson, who had this other speaker series called The Next Gen. Well, he's in business with his son, who's a couple years younger than I am. And I went to Bill, his name is Bill Benson. I said, Bill, let's do something like The Next Gen, but let's do it at a level for people, more or less people our age, and with people who aren't, 70 and have retired and exited their business or whatever, but let's do it with people that are still working, or maybe they've done their first exit, and let's hear what these guys have to say. And so, his firm is insurance guys, but they're really high end insurance and they have really niche product. And so, and they're really a service provider in that, yeah, they use an insurance product, but they're providing a particular type of service, both estate planning, asset protection planning, and other things. So they're not like just selling, they're out there hawking product on the street.
Yeah.
So it was bringing someone, and they have huge connections in town. So it's bringing these guys together. And then it's also, the next thing is, something to think about as you're building your business. I know a lot of people see there and they say, speaker series, how can I do this? It's going to cost me a fortune. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't. You can find, I'm sure even in Maryland, you can find plenty of free venues. What I did was I go to the local co-working spaces and I go to them and I say, look, here's what we want to do. We want to put on a speaker series. We want to invite your members. We'll bring the speaker. We'll bring the food. We'll bring the drink. And we'll bring a bunch of outside business professionals in. You guys can showcase your community, showcase your co-working space. Your members get something, get an added bonus out of it. Just let us use your space for free. And it's a no-brainer. Any of these co-working spaces will jump at it. They're always looking for content for members. So, and then what do? You go to Costco or wherever, you get some platters of like snacks and, a few cases of beer, or if you're getting, this was a happy, in the past we've done it as a happy hour. I think the next one we'll do is a breakfast. You either get coffee or pastries or something, and you give people an opportunity to network for an hour. You have a speaker for about 45 minutes. If you started at 7:30 in the morning, you're done by 9:30 or 10. Everybody can get to work and it works great. It really can be a fantastic thing. And, as with any of this stuff, the most important part of the speaker series in some ways isn't the speaker series, right? It's the opportunity to touch somebody, to say, the biggest mistake people make with running any type of event is they blast it out on Constant Contact or MailChimp or whatever, and then nobody shows up.
Yeah, they're waiting, watching to see if anybody signed up for my event.
So the next thing when you're running an event is you have to send the notices out. And then literally the 2 weeks before the event, you got to be emailing people individually. You've got to be getting on the phone and just saying, look, I'd really like you to come to this. What do you think about coming? And the thing about it is, again, like I said, with the speaker, there might be someone that you'd love to attend the event who, you kind of have their info. You have their contact info. You haven't really talked to them that much. But, you pick up the phone and you say, hey, so-and-so, we're having this event. No call. It's free. Just come on to the event. If you want to bring, here's what the idea is. Maybe you could think about bringing a client or another colleague or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the right people will jump at it because they say, hey, I have a great opportunity to go to a cool event. I can bring a client. It doesn't cost me anything. So I get to go network and I don't have to pay for anything. It doesn't pay. It's a cheap way to entertain a client or a colleague. Uh-huh. So, there's what you have to use the event. The event is not the end in and of itself. It's a tool. And the tool is to make connections with people, to make connections with your speaker, to make connections with the people in your network, to expand your network. I always ask people that I invite, I always say to them in my specific invitation, please consider bringing a client or colleague to it, because I want to meet more people. I want to meet my referral partners' clients. And, you know, the right people will do that. And then it gives you an opportunity, gives you something to say, hey, here, I have this event. Would you be interested? So to give you an idea of one of the follow-ups to my event is that I am having a call on Thursday with the guy that runs the Southwest Regional Manufacturers Association of Florida. Well, that's a mouthful, SRMA. Yeah. but basically, one of the things I did was I just invited him. His predecessor had been on our email list for this thing because of one of my other colleagues that has left my firm. But anyway, so I got to this guy who's now the new executive director. They've got a bunch of manufacturing businesses in their network. And I just said, hey, you know, Neil, would you be interested in coming to this? And he said, yeah, but I can't come to that one. And so that started a conversation. And now we're having a call this week about what I can do for their clients and for their members of this association. And particularly, I'm going to start providing content to them, you know, doing a speaker series or doing my own speaker series on tax or business or whatever.
Wow. But
so the speaker series.
And he never came to the event.
What?
He didn't come to the event.
He didn't come to the event.
A phone call that was facilitated by simply asking if he could come to the event.
Exactly. I mean, it's a tool, and it's not about, you know, and you know, sometimes you might have, you know, the last speaker series we did, I think we had a good showing at about 25 to 30 people, but the guys who did it had never really done something quite like what we did, where you had them in a room and people were really just picking their brain about their business and their life and how they moved forward in it. Mm-hmm. And they were really honored to do it. And, you know, it was a great networking opportunity with those two guys. So, you know, there's all kinds of things you can get out of it, but the event, you don't have to worry about having, you know, 100 or 200 people. You don't have to worry about having thousands of, you know, having thousands of likes on Facebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. What matters is you just do it and use it for what you can get, and use it as a way to expand your network. If you get 10 people, then maybe what God is telling you is that those are the 10 people you need to talk to for your business.
And here's the thing is you're coming from a place. I mean, there's almost nothing better than calling somebody and saying, hey, I have a referral for you. But a really close second could be, hey,
I'm bringing in a really great speaker.
I'd love for you to be there, and you can bring a friend of yours. You can bring a colleague. That may be actually long-term, even better than sending the person referral, or I want you to come. I'd love to connect you with somebody who I know is going to be there as well. So can you make it on Friday night or whatever it is? But you're coming from such a great place of offering something, and it's not, you know, it's not the standard stuff. It's out of the box. You're not just sending them a handwritten note. You're not just sending them a book after you had coffee, right? Those things are good and helpful, but this is a level up that I think you could argue if you came cold into a new area and you wanted to endear yourself to as many people as possible, you could either try to find them referrals, which would be pretty hard because you don't know anybody in that area. You haven't done a lot of business there, or you could give them other connections. And you can add value to their business by bringing in a speaker like this. Mm-hmm. And you've done it in a place where nobody knew you 4 years ago. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's been exciting. And I want to add something to what you said there. So you guys are in a business where real estate agents are in a business where you can trade referrals pretty easily back and forth between, say, realtors and loan officers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are a lot of other people who, for instance, you might not be able to send business to, but might be able to direct business back your way. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've learned is that if you can put two people together, for instance, that can really trade referrals back and forth all day, every day. For instance, if I can connect a realtor with a loan officer and put them together, then what's really interesting about that is, and I can get them to remember that they, that I introduced them. Mm-hmm. What they'll remember is I didn't just refer them one client. They'll realize the good people in the referral network will realize and remember that you connected them with a whole source of business.
Yeah.
An endless supply, almost an endless supply of business. And that, you know, and I tell people when I do networking, look, I might not be able to send you, you know, a dozen clients a year, but I might be, but I can bring you into my network, and hopefully by being as part of my network that you can get a dozen clients a year just by the people that you'll get to know by being in my network. So that's something else to think about in sort of networking in this, you know, what you, how you add value to people, to other folks' businesses. It's not just about referring them a client, though, like I said, as you said, Pat, that's the best call you can make is to send someone a client. They love it. But once you can start bringing people into your network and you can just make sure that your people are, your referral partners are constantly thinking of those people for stuff, can be infinitely more valuable than.
Yeah. I, you know, to sort of pick up on that idea though, too, you really ultimately want to have connections with people who have plentiful business, right? That they're doing so much business that maybe it, you could send them a client and that may be a blip on the radar screen. What most of those really great professionals are looking for is how you think. They want other professionals who think in growth mode, who think big picture, who think about the long game in terms of the quality of the people that they're surrounding themselves with. And that's what that, I think that's the brilliance of this level of, I hate to even use the word networking, right? It's almost a dirty word because what comes to mind is like, you know, happy hour, passing out cards, you know, and almost like speed dating for business owners. And that's not at all what we're talking about here. This is a much more in-depth sort of thing. And you even said, you know, you don't really play well in those environments where you come in, you don't know anybody, and it's a sort of a big awkward environment. What you've done, and you know, someone who may be more of an extrovert, more of a sort of the life of the party type of guy comes in and they can connect with everybody fine, but they haven't gone deep. And I think that's really, you've taken, you know, I would be willing to guess, we haven't done any personality profile on you, but I'd be willing to guess you have more of an introvert sort of way about you, just knowing you over the years. Being in large crowds for too long will kind of exhaust you at a certain point. You need to get back and recharge. But when you can control what that crowd looks like and be the straw that stirs that drink for everybody else, it's very energizing for you. And the systematic approach to that you're taking is, I think, what we're seeing is providing some pretty exponential results as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I also do want to say though that it does, as a business professional, it doesn't hurt to go out to those large networking events from time to time. I find that if I do it, I can. Sometimes, yeah, it's just good training, right? It's a little bit of, you know, sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone and go meet somebody. It's certainly, if it's a large networking event that someone else that someone in your referral network has organized, it's definitely good to go out and support them. Mm-hmm. I do try to do that. So if someone says to me, you know, I went to an event a couple of weeks ago, it was a Big Brothers Big Sisters event here in Naples. And it's not really my thing. It wasn't my, you know, I didn't really know many people there. I was actually kind of surprised about the some of the strangeness of a lot of the people there, which was really kind of bizarre. But but you know, it was good, and I actually did meet. I met a potential client, and I also met a potential referral partner there, another lawyer. And the last thing is, It earned me some kudos with this other guy in my network. He's a banker. And, you know, he invited me to the event. I went, and I think it meant a lot to him that I went. And it's always good, I think, that as you have people in your network, it's not just networking, it's connection building. And if you really want to, it's building friendships. If you want to do that, you really have to support people. And so sometimes you do have to go outside your comfort zone for that.
Yeah. Like when we have sponsors for our events with the sales team, or when we have, you know, we have other people who are motivated to invite and then they show up, it's great. It's great way and those are the, you know, in business, you only have so many opportunities, you know, to actually like, you know, spend time with someone where you're kind of off the clock and you're in a less formal setting than mostly it's just transactional stuff, emails, phone calls. Hey, we need this. We got to do that. So I definitely can identify with that part of it.
So Mike, you said, you know, the event is just sort of part of this, and you've described sort of being systematic around the events prior to, you know, building up and making the phone calls 2 weeks ahead of time and not just relying on sort of the automated, you know, signups online and that sort of stuff or the likes that you get. So you do that, you go through your Rolodex or, you know, your database and you get people invited and you're making maybe 100 calls to get 20 people there or maybe even more, but it's the calls that allow for that. So I love that. What does your follow-up post event look like systematically? Do you have a system that you say, you know, gosh, I squander this event if I don't do these things after the event?
The big thing is really just figuring out who you want to follow up with after the event. And you're right. Following up is the hardest part about it because everybody's busy and you got to figure out, okay, who am I going to follow up with? Is it going to be, you know, Joe Blow or John Smith or whoever? And you know, you really need to sort of, I've tried to build systems and processes where you have like a database or a tickler system or whatever. You know, we're lawyers, we're not very good at CRM databases and but like I use a piece of paper sometimes.
Amazing.
And I'll literally write like go through it. Yellow and just start
piece of paper.
Yeah, and start writing down names. I've been using OneNote a lot more, but I just sit there and I say, and you know, maybe I'll meet somebody at the event that I need to follow up with, and or it'll remind me someone will show up and I'll follow up with them, things like that. You know, you'll do, but then what I do is I actually take a little bit of a break because you do so much in the lead up, in the run up to the event to get it off.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of your follow up with people actually, because like you said, you're calling, you're emailing, you know, checking in with people and, you know, people will say, hey, I can't go. And then you respond back, hey, no problem. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. How are you doing? Wanted to see how you're doing anyway. And then you have a little back and forth, you know, a good, you know, just time to connect with people. But a lot of it is just, you have to be, I mean, we love the word intentional today. This is one of the buzzwords of the day, mindful or intentional about things. And, you know, I don't know that we ever weren't intentional as human beings. We always have ideas and goals and we're moving towards things and we make choices. But the idea is there, which is, you know, you need to sit down and really think and actively curate your network and actively manage it. And so part of the thing is going through your list and saying who had this event, who from the event should I follow up with? Okay, who do I need to make inroads with? And then we always, me and my in my events, my co-sponsor for the event always have a debrief. What should we do next time? Who should we think about inviting? When should we do the next one? We were doing it about every 2 months and it was probably too much. We probably should have done it more like once every 3 months, you know, once a quarter or, you know, three times a year. just because, you know, people do get burnt out going to the same thing and you have to constantly keep it new. So we've taken a hiatus now. We're going to have a hiatus of probably 7 months before we do the next one. And we're going to change venues. So we were doing these in Fort Myers, but we're going to change venues. But the long and short of it is, you know, the follow-up is always, it's just actively thinking about it. Who should you follow up with? And, you know, I also do that. One of the follow-ups from my last event is when I'm in Maryland in a couple weeks, I'm going to actually go see one of the speakers who's an investment banker in Columbia, Maryland. Good guy. But just hang out with him, catch up with him, see what's going on. I'm going to probably bring some, actually my co-sponsor is going to come to Maryland at that time. And we're going to meet with them and meet with him and the investment banker, hopefully. And, you know, they can touch base. But it's just one of those things. It's sort of, you know, how do you need to just be thoughtful about what you're doing and actually, you know, try not to be too reactionary. I can be sometimes a little too reactionary in my networking, like, oh, I need to go see this guy. Oh, this guy emailed me. Yeah, I'll go to lunch with you. And all of a sudden you get overbooked and like you're doing all kinds of business development and networking, but you're not actually doing any work.
Well, and I think it sounds like an event actually causes an intentionality, right? So in an age where I know on the agent side of things, agents can literally hide behind their screen and plink away on social media, feeling like they're actually connecting with a lot of people and missing out on the deep connections that in the same amount of time they could really be forging. And I see this so very often, you know, I don't understand, you know, I've got this many likes and I've got this many followers and all this, but I don't have enough business. And part of the reason I think is that we don't actually intentionally meet with people face to face. And so you're intentionally providing a paradigm where not only you have a forum to meet a lot of people face to face, but everybody who you invite, you know, has that forum as well. And, you know, and from there, there's no shortage of people that you can go have coffee with, you know, follow up with a phone call, you know, connect to somebody because you had an interesting conversation, you know, send a handwritten note, send a book to, send, you know, all of the different things that you could think of, you know, to do follow up, you can do with these people, whether they're brand new in their career and now you hold a different place in their mind in many ways, because what you're doing is actually pretty rare and valuable to people. And it's not a chamber event, you know, and I've got good friends who run chambers but it's actually not a chamber event. It's actually something put on by other professionals in order to lift all the ships that get there as well.
Well, that's exactly right. And you said something there that was interesting, which is, you know, they're on too much on social media. I mean, I've gotten clients from social media, particularly LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You know, I get random requests from people all the time. And when there's somebody interesting on there, I actually reach out to them and I say, hey, you know, you just sent me a LinkedIn request. I see your updates. You know, maybe we could get together for coffee. And that's how I use it. And I've gotten some clients that way. I got a great referral partner that way.
Awesome.
You know, it is, you have to not hide behind the social media. You have to get out there. And, you know, ultimately people, my experience is, especially with other professional service providers, is they want at least somebody whose voice they can hear.
Mm-hmm.
And even better, they like somebody's hand they can touch. You know, that sounds a little disgusting, but but it's,
yeah, they, I mean, but it, yeah, they want to know that you're flesh and blood, that you've got a life and something about being face to face with somebody, really.
And that's how people like to evaluate you. They want to see what kind of person you are, and you know. That there's so much more that you give off in person about your genuineness, your integrity, your your fortitude and everything that comes out when you meet with someone in person. Do they look me in the eye? Do they not? Mm-hmm. You know, is it, do they have a firm handshake? Are they a fish? Or are they just in or whatever?
Yeah, somebody said to me recently, you know, first thing I notice is somebody's shoes. You know?
Yes.
And it's a big, you know, are they all scuffed up? And, you know, or are they, you know, did somebody, you know, did they dress well? And how are they presenting? And by the way, could I put this person in front of my really great clients? That's what you're kind of assessing there.
I just looked at your shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Don't look at my shoes.
One of the things.
You're not wearing shoes.
One of the things I said could come off badly. I said, do they have a firm handshake? Are they a fish or are they just Indian? I think, though, you have to be careful when you evaluate people in person with certain things like handshakes or others, because there are a lot of cultures out there where a firm handshake is not
a sign of
proper etiquette. Right. Yeah. And a lot of Asian cultures are like that.
Yeah.
Part of what you have to take into account when you evaluate people, though, is their cultural background.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, and just making sure that you've got that your job is to connect the right people in the right instances, the right clients and the right referral sources and being known for that, right? You know, that in many ways speaks to your business acumen in what you do. And I know for us as well. Mike, it was great. You know, any other sort of, you know, if we're just, I move into a new area, you know, I've got new agents moving in here all the time, people who come in and go, I want to start a business here. I'm interested in getting real estate. What if you could give them, you know, 2-3 priorities to just focus on as they build their business to business network? What are those 3 priorities?
The number one thing is always, you got to be the best agent you can be. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily something that a lot of agents talk about. At least a lot of people in the real estate industry talk about, but they got to be the best agent they can be and understand what that means, you know. And I can give you sort of in my mind, that's, you know, someone that is really going to provide actual service to the client. If you're just going to be the guy that sends listings out, a link with listings, then just forget it, because you're in the wrong industry now, because any of us can go to Redfin and figure that out. It sounds stupid, but it is. You have to be the best agent you can be. You have to know what you're talking about. And I can give, in another session, I could give you a whole list of things that I've been through, you know. Agent said, no, you understand the construction materials of the construction of the house, the location, the value of location, you know, why this neighborhood on this side of the street versus that neighborhood, all those things. But just be the best agent you can be. That's number one. Awesome. Number two is figure out what type of community you want to serve as an agent. You know, some guys love the first-time home buyers. Some guys just want to be listing agents. Some guys really want to do just Potomac, right? You know, so you got to figure out and understand what kind of agent you want to be, and what market. You know, it could be that I don't think it's wrong necessarily to be a door agent. You know, I don't know if you know that term, but there's a term called the door lawyer. You know, I represent anybody that walks in the door. So you can be a door real estate agent, anybody who walks in into your office, you know, and that's fine. I mean, you can get a lot of good clients like that. You know, most lawyers are still a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But then, so there's figure out what you want to be. And then once you figure out what community or what type of agent you want to be within, you know, what type of niche market you want to serve, then you have to figure out, I would say, and start curating a list of the service providers that you think, the professionals that you think, the networking opportunities groups that you think that can actually drive those types of clients to you. Because you can go out and do direct marketing, D2C marketing, direct to consumer marketing, all you want. But in my experience, it's never as the B2B, the business to business, whatever you want to call it, is the referral-based marketing is much more effective over the long term. Because, you know, it's sort of the what I call the shampoo rule, you know, lather, rinse, and repeat. You know, if you can get somebody that can constantly send you stuff and you can be lathering, rinsing, and repeating that guy all the time, and he's just sending you his, you know, for you guys, it could be loan officers or, you know, whoever. I don't know who the people would be, but there are those types of clients, that people that can drive business to you all the time.
Yeah.
For me, it's an insurance. I have a couple of insurance guys and some CPAs. Mm-hmm. They just send me business all the time. And I do whatever I can to keep them happy. So those are sort of the top three things. Be the best agent, be technically good, mm-hmm. Know what kind of agent you want to be, and then start curating a list of people that can help you become that agent. Does that help?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Mikey,
the best real estate advice I've ever heard.
Great.
And I've been working with you.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You get it. Thanks, Mike.
And that's frankly a plug for Tower Hill, because, you know, I do know Pat very well, but I think one of the things that Pat does is you really try, Pat, to be the best agent you can be. I've seen you grow as an agent over the years, and I've seen you grow, you know, help other agents grow, guys like John Kirk and others. Even your dad, mm-hmm. Of all
my
people.
And
I think for agents, a place like Tower Hill is great, because it's a place where you're not just going to get a desk and a place to hang your hat and a broker to cover you, but and the close transactions, but you're going to get that kind of mentoring to be the best agent you can be, that kind of training. I mean, there's nobody else out there that I know of that's actually providing training for their agents the way you guys do. And I think that is huge for any agent.
Thanks, man. No, yeah. That's a huge, huge endorsement. So thank you. And you know, it is definitely at the heart of what we're doing. So Mike, this is awesome. Thanks for spending so much time with us on this. You know, we could talk, and you and I have been talking for, you know, I don't know, the better part of 15 years about business and how to make this all work, but we'll cut it off here and just really appreciate you making the time and I know these are billable hours for you. So we deeply appreciate the time that
you
spent.
No problem. Anytime for you, Pat.
All right, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. See ya. Hey everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends about us. For feedback on this episode or the podcast in general, email us at podcast@towerhillrealty.com. We'll see you next time.